This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'een. We begin by praying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the end of time. Today I want to simply share with you a story from the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather a story about one of the Sahaba, and along the way discuss lessons that we can take from the story and apply to our lives. And before I begin, just a couple of points about history. One of the mistakes we make in the world today is that we approach history in terms of we want to memorize names, we want to memorize dates, and we give children tests on these topics. Well, we forget what's most important. What's more important than the names or the dates? And that's that you learn a lesson from the story. That's what's most important. Any story, the most important thing is you take a lesson from it. Even if you can't remember the name of the person. So, when we approach history, we should approach it from the perspective of, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this and apply to my life? The second point I want to make is, the Sahabi I'm about to talk about, is someone who throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of the enemies of Islam. And right at the end, he converted to Islam. And I want us to understand his perspective, understand his journey, understand what led him to do what he did and end up where he ended up. Because sometimes when we go through history, we think of it in terms of good guys and bad guys. You know, we think of people who are purely good and purely evil. And we forget that most people were sincere people on their own spiritual journey that sometimes led them down wrong paths. So, the person I'm going to talk about today, one of my favorite Sahaba in terms of how his story ended, is Suhail ibn Amr, radiallahu anhu. Suhail ibn Amr was one of the chiefs of the Quraysh, one of the elders of the Quraysh. He was known as the spokesperson of the Quraysh. He was a very eloquent and elderly man. By the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a messenger, Suhail was quite elderly. He was quite respected. He was given the duty of speaking in public and reciting poetry on behalf of the Quraysh. And what happened in the early years of Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first started preaching the message of Islam, it was mostly the poor people and the young people who accepted Islam. But the elders were the ones who initially rejected. So for example, we know that Abu Jahl rejected Islam. But his son Ikrimah became a Sahabi. Right? But that's later on. If you go earlier on in history, we see for example, Utbah. Right? Utbah did not accept Islam. But his son Abu Hudayfa was one of the first Sahaba. We see this later on as well. Walid ibn Mughayrah did not accept Islam, but his son Khalid ibn Walid was one of the greatest Sahaba. So there's this trend in the early part of history where the younger people were more open-minded. They're more willing to listen to the message of the Prophet and see whether it makes sense and accept it accordingly. But the elders were set in their ways. This is our culture, this is our religion, this is what our forefathers followed, this is the source of our business and profits, so they didn't want to listen. And so, this led to a clash between the older people and the younger people. And what we must understand is from amongst these older people, not all of them were bad, right? Some of them simply did not believe yet. They were not convinced yet. Right? So some of them were genuinely bad people, like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, from what we know of his story, he knew in his heart that Islam was true, but out of arrogance he rejected it. Suhail was different. Suhail, it took him many years to realize that Islam was true. So before that he rejected it because he hadn't realized it yet. And this led to a big clash between him and his own children. Because two of the early Sahaba, two of the early Muslims, were Abdullah ibn Suhail and Abu Jandal ibn Suhail. Abu Jandal and Abdullah were two of the early Sahaba. And their father is one of the elderly leaders of the non-Muslims. So this led to a clash in the household itself, where the father does not believe in Islam, and his sons are convinced of Islam. Right? And he did something very bad at that point in his life, which he later repented from. But at that point in time, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he did something very bad, and that is, he basically imprisoned his children at home. He imprisoned Abdullah and Abu Jandal in their home. And he kept them as prisoners, out of embarrassment that his children had left his religion, out of trying to convince them to go back, and simply out of not knowing what to do about the whole situation. Now, many years later, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Sahaba, they move to Medina because things are getting too difficult in Makkah. And the Battle of Badr takes place. And this is where we have a very interesting story about Suhail. Suhail's son Abdullah convinces him that he's not a Muslim anymore. Right? So he had his son Abdullah in prison because Abdullah converted to Islam. And Abdullah tells his father, "I'm not a Muslim anymore. Let me go and fight in the Battle of Badr." So he lets his son out of prison, and he goes with his son to the Battle of Badr. And at the Battle of Badr, his son runs across to the other side and joins the Muslims. Right? So Abdullah, in this case, tricked his father, pretended not to be a Muslim, just to escape from prison, which is something understandable. And so this was a big blow to Suhail, in terms of his ego, his arrogance, and in terms of family as well. His son deflected to the other side, and he now had to fight the battle against his son. Many of us don't think about this. When we think of the Battle of Badr, many of us don't think about the fact that people were fighting their own fathers and their own children. It was literally father versus son. It was a very emotional battle. And eventually, Suhail was captured. He was captured by the Muslims, and he was ransomed. But before he was ransomed, something very interesting happened. Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to remove Suhail's teeth. Now, we know Umar was one of the more stricter and scarier Sahaba at that point in time. So he wanted to remove Suhail's front teeth so that Suhail can't give any more lectures against Islam. Because as I said, he was a very well-spoken person. Right? So he wanted to do this, and the Prophet ﷺ did not allow it, because mutilating people is not allowed in Islam. Right? So he taught Umar this on this occasion. He did not allow it, and he made a prophecy, a prediction about the future. And he said, maybe one day Suhail will use those same teeth and that same tongue to defend Islam, to promote Islam. So this is a prophecy that only comes true 10 years later. So the Prophet ﷺ, he let Suhail go. Suhail went back to Makkah. And what's interesting is, we don't really have records of Suhail fighting the Muslims after this. A lot of records. He basically lived a quiet life. You know, the Muslims let him go. He went back to Makkah. He didn't believe, but he didn't fight either. The only thing he wanted his sons to go back to his religion. So he kept his son Abu Jandal as a prisoner. The next important event we know about Suhail is many, many years later. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah. When the Prophet ﷺ wanted to make Umrah, so he's coming from Medina to make Umrah, and the people of Makkah did not want to allow him in. So they sent Suhail to negotiate with him. They sent Suhail to negotiate with the Prophet ﷺ. And they signed a peace treaty, which changed the history of Islam. Right? This is like a turning point in our history. They signed a peace treaty that the Muslims would not make Umrah that year, they would make Umrah the year after that. And there were a lot of conditions in their treaty that seemed unfair to the Muslims, that Suhail came up with. So for example, he said, if anyone from Makkah converts to Islam, they can't move to Medina. And if anybody from Medina leaves Islam, they are allowed to move to Makkah. Right? Seemed very unfair. And the interesting thing about this is, after the treaty was signed, nobody from Medina left Islam to move back to Makkah. But many people from Makkah converted to Islam and eventually ended up moving to Medina. Right? And the first person to try and do this was Suhail's own son, Abu Jandal. Right there, while they were signing the treaty, Abu Jandal comes tied up in his chains and tells the Prophet ﷺ that his father imprisoned him, and can I come with you back to Medina? And then Suhail says, we just signed the treaty. And my son's the first one who has to stay back. I'm not letting my son go. So for the sake of keeping the peace treaty, Abu Jandal was sent back to live with his father who had imprisoned him. So what's really interesting about the story is right up until this point, Suhail is like the bad guy. Throughout the history of the Prophet ﷺ, Suhail is like the bad guy, right? He imprisons his sons. He fights against the Muslims in the Battle of Badr. He again imprisons his son. He makes a very unfair peace treaty. But what I want you to look at is the ending. Look at the end of the story. At the conquest of Makkah, Suhail ibn Amr is hiding in his house, afraid of what the Prophet ﷺ is going to do to him. Because he just spent the past 20 years fighting against him and speaking against him. And now the Prophet ﷺ has taken over Makkah. So Abdullah, his son Abdullah, comes home. He hasn't seen his father in years. And he tells him, come with me. I will give you security and safety, and let's go speak to the Prophet ﷺ. And he took Suhail, he took his father to speak to the Prophet ﷺ, and Suhail converted to Islam. At this point in time, he is genuinely convinced about Islam. Why is he genuinely convinced about Islam? Because the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ went in 20 years, less than 20 years, from a man with only 80 followers in Makkah, to a man with an army of 10,000 who now rule the whole of Arabia. If Allah wasn't on his side, and if the idols were real gods, that wouldn't have happened. This was what happened. This is the thought that Suhail had. That if the idol that he was worshipping were really gods, this wouldn't have happened. Right? And if God wasn't on the Prophet's side, this wouldn't have happened. So this convinced him that Muhammad ﷺ is really a true prophet. And so he converted to Islam. And then, after he converted to Islam, there are two stories about him that are really beautiful. The first story is when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ passed away. When the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ passed away, many of the neighboring cities began to leave Islam. And some of the people of Makkah were thinking of doing so as well. So Suhail got up in front of the Kaaba and he gave a lecture. Remember, he was very good at giving lectures. And he told the people of Makkah, we were the first ones to receive the message of Islam and we were the last ones to accept it. So let us not be the first people to leave it. Very beautiful lecture he gave. And his lecture convinced the people to stay Muslims, to remain in the fold of Islam. Go back 10 years before that, when he was an enemy of Islam, when he was captured by the Prophet ﷺ, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, maybe one day Suhail will use this tongue to defend Islam. And after the Prophet ﷺ passes away, this prophecy comes true. And Suhail defends Islam, and he stops the people of Makkah from leaving Islam. Then Suhail, he goes to Medina, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he and Abu Sufyan, they want to meet with Umar and speak to him. Umar is the Khalifa at that time. But many of the poorer Muslims, Umar is seeing them first before seeing Suhail and Abu Sufyan. Because Umar's method was, he dealt with you according to how early you accepted Islam. So someone who accepted Islam early, he gave them preference over someone who accepted Islam later. So Abu Sufyan got angry about this, and Suhail said that we deserve this. The Prophet ﷺ came to us first, he taught us Islam first, but all of these people accepted Islam before us. So we deserve to be left last. And then Suhail came to a decision. He said that I wasted my entire life fighting the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Whatever's left of my life, I'm going to spend it in jihad. And he's in his 70s at this time. So in his 70s, he leaves Medina, he joins the Muslim armies, and he goes out to fight in jihad against the Romans. And he ends up dying from a plague in Syria many years later. Now, the lesson I want us to take from this story, the main lesson I want us to take from this story, is that we should not judge people's endings. Right? Many of us have this habit that we look at people and we assume this person is going to paradise, this person is going to hell, this person is a Jahannami. Right? We have no right to say this about anyone. Because we do not know where somebody will end. There are many people born into Muslim families who die as atheists. And there are many people who spend their whole lives against Islam, but they die as true believers. We see this with Suhail. Suhail spent his entire life, right into his 60s or 70s, fighting against Islam. And then he turns around, he becomes a Sahabi, and he dies fi sabilillah. So we learn from this, we do not judge people's akhirah. Yes, we can say their actions are wrong. What they are doing today is wrong. They are wrong today. But make dua for Allah to guide them. Make dua for Allah to guide them. Make dua for Allah to show them the light. And do not decide whether someone's going to paradise or hell, because that's not our decision, that's Allah's decision. The second lesson we can take from the story is that no matter what sins you have committed in your life, you can always repent and become a better Muslim. Right? Shaitan wants us to lose hope. This is Shaitan's goal. His goal is not to make you sin. His goal is to make you commit such sins that you lose hope in Allah's mercy. Because when you lose hope in Allah's mercy, you leave Islam. Or you leave trying to be good. And that's what the Shaitan wants. He wants us to just stop trying. What does Allah want? Allah wants us to keep trying. No matter what sins you've committed, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what you've done wrong, you can still make tawbah, you can still make istighfar, you can still try again. And every time you do so, Allah wipes the slate clean and you start off again. And so no matter what you fall into in life, don't ever lose hope in Allah's mercy. Can any sin we commit be as bad as fighting the Prophet Muhammad in a battle? Think about it. Any sin that you can commit, can you think of any sin that we commit that is worse than fighting Prophet Muhammad himself in battle? This is like one of the biggest sins a person can fight. Fighting in the battle of Badr against the Muslims. But that same man who did that converts to Islam many years later and dies a Sahabi and a martyr. Meaning what? Anything that you do wrong, there is a way back to Allah. There is a way to repent. There is a way to get closer to Allah. So again, I just want us to focus today on these two main lessons. Number one, don't judge people's akhirah. Number two, whatever sins you have committed, you can still repent and change your life, because Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah is waiting for us to repent. He gives us so many opportunities every single day. I want you to think about this. For every sin you commit, Allah gives you one sin in your book of bad deeds. For every good deed you do, He gives you 10 or more in your book of good deeds. How merciful is that? Every time you make wudu, Allah washes away some of your sins. Every time you pray salah, He washes away some of your sins. Every time you give charity, He washes away some of your sins. Every time you fast, He washes away some of your sins. You go for umrah, He washes away sins. You go for hajj, He washes away sins. You help a person, He washes away sins. Almost anything you do, Allah uses it as a reason and an excuse to forgive you for some of your sins. So if on the day of judgment we are left with more sins than good deeds, whose fault is that? If Allah has given us so much opportunities to wipe away our sins, to be forgiven, to do good deeds, to get 10 times reward for each good deed compared to sin, how do we still end up with a scale of more sins than good deeds? We must appreciate Allah's mercy. And the way to appreciate Allah's mercy is to be the best Muslims that we can be. And to keep trying. No matter what we fall into, to just keep trying. Never stop trying to obey Allah. And never stop seeking Allah's forgiveness. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek forgiveness 100 times a day, even though he never committed a sin. You and I, we also have to do this as well. He was teaching us what we need to do. We need to seek forgiveness 100 times a day, because quite frankly, we commit 100 sins a day on average. Right? So we should seek forgiveness. Make it a habit to make istighfar. And not just to make istighfar, like some people sit and they go, astaghfirullah, 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 while thinking about something else. No. Think about the sins you committed. So think, I looked at that woman, I shouldn't have looked at her, astaghfirullah. You know, I lied to my customer, astaghfirullah. You know, I sold something and I cheated in business, astaghfirullah. Think of a specific sin you committed and say, astaghfirullah. That has a far bigger impact on your soul than just saying it without knowing what you're saying astaghfirullah for. Think about specific things you did and then say astaghfirullah, and then it will have an impact on your soul and will be a means not just of forgiveness but of becoming a better person. So finally, quick reminder for those who were late about what today's lesson was. We looked very briefly at the life of Suhail ibn Amr, and we said that this was a man who in the most of his life he was the enemy of Islam. He spoke against Islam, he imprisoned his sons for converting to Islam. He fought the Prophet Muhammad's army in the Battle of Badr. He was responsible for some major transgressions in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And then eventually, after the conquest of Makkah, he converted to Islam. He became a Sahabi. He stopped the people of Makkah from leaving Islam. He went to Syria to make jihad against the Romans, and he died a martyr fi sabilillah in his 70s. And so we learn from this story two very, very important lessons. Number one, don't judge people's akhirah because you don't know where someone's going to end up. Someone may be an enemy of Islam today, but they may die as the most pious Muslim or not. We don't know. So instead of judging people's akhirah, make dua for them. You see somebody doing something wrong or saying something wrong, ask Allah to guide them. Ask Allah to guide them. Don't make dua against them. Don't curse them. Don't say you're going to hell. Don't say things like that to people. Rather, make dua for Allah to guide them. And the other important lesson we learned today is that when we commit sins, there's always a way back to Allah. Just like Suhail fought the Muslims, and Allah still allowed him, Allah still forgave him and he still became a Sahabi. Whatever sins we commit, Allah can forgive too. May Allah accept our good deeds and forgive our sins. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.